I want to talk to you very quickly this morning, and I know we're rapidly running out of time, the truth about freedom. You know, it's funny because I think how we define freedom or how our society, our country defines freedom, it's kind of twisted. I remember one of the lines, you know, Disney became well known a few years ago for starting to release sequels to its classic movies on DVD. So we ended up with such drivel as Cinderella 2, 101 Dalmatians 2, Lady and the Tramp 2. And you're thinking to yourself, wow. But what I remember one of the commercials for Lady and the Tramp 2, the little puppy, says in the movie, "I have to be free to be me." And I said, you know, that pretty much encapsulates our culture. I have to be free to be me. And a lot of people will say things. I need to be free to be able to be myself. I appreciated Ron's diagnosis of maybe one of the problems with online sites that match you on 27 different levels of compatibility. not that I'm being specific. Is that you don't have to grow. You know, he determined, he said, guys, one of the reasons that that God has determined marriage for you is so that you can be more like Christ. And this idea that I need to be free to be me is actually a thinly veiled piece of pop culture psychology designed to tell you that you can feel good about being in bondage to yourself. Because being free to be you probably isn't who you want to be. Because if you're not who you are in Christ, then who you are is sinful and selfish. And so to be free to be you is freedom to be in bondage to yourself. And what people often call freedom is far from it. A few freedom quotes, though, as we relate to July 4th and various things like that. Abraham Lincoln said, "Those who deny freedom to others deserve it not for themselves." Another quote by Adlai Stevenson, "My definition of a free society is a society where it is safe to be unpopular." Former Vice President Dick Cheney said, "It's easy to take liberty for granted when you have never had it taken from you." Hepzibah Minuhin, who was an American Jewish pianist, said, "Freedom means choosing your burden." You know, I think she understood a little bit about the fact that oftentimes we choose in life what we serve. And there's often burden involved in that. People are under the impression that freedom means loosing yourself from all burdens. No, there's some kind of burden in life you're going to carry. Freedom is choosing that burden. I don't know who said this. It says, "Men fight for freedom. Then they begin to accumulate laws to take it away from themselves." Or Frederick Douglass in 1883, "No man could put a chain about the ankle of his fellow man without at last finding the other end fastened about his own neck." The great philosopher Will Rogers said, "Liberty doesn't work as well in practice as it does in speeches." And then, of course, the quote that many have heard, "Freedom is never free." You see, the problem with the biblical view of freedom, and it's not really a problem, it's just the antithesis of what the world sees it as. It's this whole backwards way of looking at things that I've talked about before. God's economy works in reverse. The idea that we give up something to gain it. The idea that we let go of something to truly have it. We'll give you a few examples of that. Let's read some scriptures together and then we'll fill in some blanks. In your bulletin should be a little handout with some blanks that you can fill in. If you don't have a writing implement, we do have some pencils in the back next to the little prayer request box. But here's some scriptures to read. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me," and this is where you're going to see a little bit of this backwards economy, "if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." It doesn't sound like freedom, but that's where freedom comes. The willingness to give up your life to follow Christ, the willingness to take up your cross to gain freedom. John 12, 24 and 25, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Maybe the word hate is kind of an extreme form, but the idea being that if I am in love with my life in the world, if I am in love with the things of the world, that's what's going to consume me. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it can't become alive. You see the mentality here, the idea, this is so cross-grained to what we're told. I need to be free to be me. I have to just be myself. I have to follow my heart. Excuse me. Your heart will lead you astray. Matthew 6:19-24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Been there, done that. They probably could have put mice in there where mice chew. Every time I go back to the cabin, we have a little cabin at the Wesleyan campgrounds in Atkinson, and every year I go back there, and basketball camp, there's always mice in there. And this time I saw it, and I tried to catch it, and it didn't work because he didn't want the peanut butter. But I'm laying there one afternoon, sessions at the basketball camp, and I'm sitting there, and he crawls out from under the hot water heater and looks at me. Runs across, crawls through a hole in the way. I have my trap all set. Anyway, mice. Moth and rust and mice and, yeah. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So we have this idea that we choose what we serve. Because you will either serve God or self or the world or your sinful nature, which all leads to serving the enemy. It just does. So you will serve God. You will serve the devil. You will. But you choose. Choose your burden. Choose to live in freedom or choose to live in bondage to the enemy. So let's look at a few biblical truths about slavery and freedom. Some biblical truths about slavery and freedom. Number one, without Christ's sacrifice, we are all slaves of self and slaves of sin. So this idea that I need to be free to be me is really bogus, because what people don't realize is that the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that we're all born selfish, that children are born selfish with a bent towards evil. I know that we talk about children being innocent and everything, but the reality is, you know, they're born selfish. And if any of you have ever held an infant, especially little Courtney, wow, there's a selfishness there and a desire to get what we want at all costs, that is naturally inborn in children. And then we literally, the process of being a good, godly parent is teaching the child to put that selfishness aside and to care for others. Without Christ's sacrifice, we are all slaves of self and slaves of sin. People look at Christianity as a list of rules and regulations that to them appear to be bondage. But then when you begin to look at the lives that people lead outside of that, you see the mess, you see the despair, you see the hopelessness, you see the lack of purpose. And it comes back down to this. If I have a manual for my car and I want to be free to drive my car for as long as possible, I'm going to make sure that I follow the instructions. I'm going to give it regular maintenance. I'm going to make sure that I put in 10W30 and not Crisco. That I'm going to run it on gasoline and not something else that I find. Because, I should be free to be able to do what I want with my car, right? Right? I guess I could. But then when my car blows up, who am I going to whine to? The Lord knows how you work. He knows how you were designed. He knows what a healthy relationship is and what a destructive relationship is. And if you want to live in the freedom that he's intended for you, it's time to think about his suggestion about how to live your life. Without Christ's sacrifice, we will live as slaves to self and slaves to sin. Number two, the only true freedom from bondage comes from surrendering ourselves to our Creator. I don't like to use the word surrender a lot, but I mean, we give it up. We let it go. Again, what did he say? You want to gain your life? You got to lose it. You got to give it up. You give it to me. You take it out of the hands of the enemy. You put it in the hands of Almighty God and let him make something out of it. Romans 6, 5 through 7. If we have been united with him like this in death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. So when you willingly say, I'm going to put my old self to death and come to Christ and surrender myself to him, you're putting the old self to death so that the new self can come alive in Christ. So if you really want to be free from bondage, there has to be a point in your life where you say, Lord, everything I have is yours. I give myself to you. You don't do that, you're not going to have freedom. It's just not going to happen. You can be in denial about it all you want, but that's the truth. Number three, in life, we will choose either to be slaves of sin or servants and children of God. I use the word children there because there was kind of a shift in focus when Christ came onto the scene. The Israelites saw themselves as servants of God, and Christ took that servant analogy a step beyond and said, actually, you're children. But in life, we're going to choose to be slaves to sin or slaves to God, slaves to sin or servants and children of God. Romans 6, 16 through 18 says, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. So there's no sugarcoating it. Being set free from sin doesn't mean you're still a slave, but you're a slave to righteousness. You're a slave to being in right standing with God. You're a slave to the Lord. And if you're going to choose your master, he's the one you want to serve. But then Jesus said this. This is the great thing about it. I choose to become a slave to God. The nature of that relationship changes. And Jesus said this in John 15:15, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. We become children of God. Number four, only Christ can truly free you from the things that control you. Now, a lot of people have disagreed with me on this in the past. But when it comes to addictions, when it comes to temptation, when it comes to habitual patterns of behavior, the only freedom you're going to find is through Christ. I believe that with all my heart. You can try to name him something else, but without Christ, there's no recovery. Without Christ, there's no freedom from addiction. Without Christ, there's no transformation and change. Romans 6. 17 and 18 says, but thanks be to God, though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I read that just a bit ago. Verse 22, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefits you reap lead to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The benefit, this idea of a holy life, a life that honors God, a life that is controlled by the Spirit of God, in which you don't have to give in to your base desires, which you're not in bondage to the old sinful nature, because that's been put to death, and now the Spirit of God is ruling and living in you. John 8 31 to 36, and I know I'm kind of plowing through this here, but this is what it says. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We're Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Well, hoity-toity. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." The Jews he was talking to were all offended. "Well, we've never been slaves. What are you talking about? How can we be set free?" Jesus says, "I tell you, if you've sinned, you're a slave to sin. And since Scripture, I think, says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that means we're all slaves to sin until something happens, until Christ sets us free." Why do you think God sent Jesus in the first place? Just to go through this little exercise of dying on a cross so that we could sing songs about it and have church? Or was it so that we could have some freedom in our life from what the enemy wants us to live under and in, apart from God? If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. The real trick is to stay in that and free. Number five, our freedom in Christ was not free. Jesus paid the ultimate price. I don't know if we'll ever really be able to comprehend the concept of God, the divine himself, becoming human, to live in a body like we live in, to create a bridge to separate the gap between man and God so that we could come back to him. But it's easy to take for granted what Christ's sacrifice represents. Because it's not freedom to do what you want. Because what you want may be a reflection of sin in your heart. It's the freedom to be who God intended you to be. Last line, real freedom is the capacity, the ability to live life the way God originally intended for you to live. Free from the bondage of sin and selfishness. Free from the bondage of sin and self. From the bondage of me. And that's a weight that can be lifted off any of us. We have a lot to be thankful for in our country. The freedoms that we've been afforded. It's unfortunate that many of those freedoms have afforded people liberty to do things that are just other forms of slavery and bondage. But today you have the opportunity to think, do a little soul searching in your heart today and say, am I really living in the freedom that God has given me? Or am I allowing myself yet to live in bondage to habits, mindsets, and attitudes that will eventually destroy me if not dealt with? Let's stand together and pray, and then we'll let you get on with your day. Father, thank you for what you've done for us, what you've made available to us. And as we reflect this 4th of July weekend on the freedoms that we do have, we don't want that to overshadow the fact that that's nothing compared to the freedom that you desire us to live in, the freedom that comes through Christ, the freedom that comes through serving you, the freedom that comes through forsaking the sinful nature and the sinful desires, putting aside the habits and finding freedom from those bondages through the sacrifice of Christ. I pray, Lord, that today as we think about freedom, there may be some here today that truly find it as they willingly surrender themselves to you wholeheartedly, giving up all things that you might give them the life that they never thought possible. Lord, help us never to treat lightly what you've done for us in the things that you desire for us. Help us not to lose sight, Lord, of the eternal. To not lose sight of the eternal as we have a tendency to focus on the here and the now. Help us, Lord, stay focused on those things that are truly important. May our lives grow in knowledge and grace and understanding of your love. May you who have begun a good work in us carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Mold us, shape us, Lord, draw us to you. Help us become more accurate reflections of your Son. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look at the person next to you and say, okay, now freedom doesn't mean you can do anything you want. All right. God bless. Have a great weekend.